Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves, and today we are going back to our friend in Portugal. But first of all, I'm joined with a man who looks like Martin. Are you wearing a house coat?
No, I'm wearing my TikTok hoodie.
Your TikTok hoodie. Oh God! I'm sorry, folks. I'd rather he was in the house coat at this stage. Just a bit of housekeeping. We've had a phenomenal reaction to the Lenny Abramson podcast on Normal People. Great to have Caroline on board. Caroline West does a podcast called Glow West on our network, and it is fantastic. And thankfully, she was able to carry me through the more difficult sex scenes in talking to Lenny. But look, check it out. It's up there on the feeds now. More importantly, we're back to Portugal now, and we're talking in the basis of, you know, a global pandemic, but in a country that shares a border with Spain, one of the worst impacted countries in the world, and is slowly starting to lift its lockdown. And we're joined by Joe Pina again. Joe, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm completing confinement, taking care of my 2 months house arrest. done by order, not by a judge, but by a small virus that completely shifted our lives, you know?
And is it... 2 months of lockdown now and has been... But you acted early. Am I right in saying that Portugal acted early?
Portugal was one of the countries in Europe, at least according to statistics, that acted the earliest. We closed everything at the same time, schools, businesses. We put our social security to work to make sure that everyone could get at least some part of the salary so that people could be sent home and not delayed the putting the confinement on just because people were needing of money. So to give you an example, we have around 5 million people working in this country. Around 2 million are getting their salaries from social security at this point. So we, except for essential workers and public employees that need to do essential work, we put everyone on lockdown and everyone getting two-thirds of their salary and another third paid by the employers at home. The question is that what we have done is that we close the borders very soon, we close all travels very soon, and also a thing that made most difference in Portugal was compliance. That's something that we need to emphasize is that the Portuguese citizens' compliance When the government told them, please stay home because this is serious, was amazingly high. Like you could see, like our major cities with not a single person on the streets.
Yeah. So again, it comes back to that civic duty. You're not just doing it for us. You're doing it for your grandparents. You're doing it for your family member who may have a condition and that. Yeah.
And also the fact that we need to realize is that Portugal, also following Japan, is one of the countries in the world with the oldest population. Like our average age is around 45. So we knew that this virus would have a huge impact in our elderly citizens, which meant that a society that does not take care of their elderly is a society without soul. So we don't embark in those things that this only affects old people. So if we had the right wing saying if they die, it's better twice. We spend less on healthcare and we spend less on pensions afterwards. So. This kind of speech is appalling to us. It makes absolutely no sense, and we took care. We told people not to go to the hospitals except if it was really needy, and we put like our healthcare system completely free, available for especially the elderly. So that's why we still have like just 1,000 dead at this point, but most of those deaths is because Portugal has a broader understanding of COVID. So everyone that dies with the virus, it's counted as a death. Even though they have died of something else, if you have the virus in your system when you die, we count them as a death. Most of the deaths that we have right now in Portugal are people that die with the virus, not because of the virus. And also Portugal is the country in the world, I think we are on top 10 countries that did more testing. At the beginning, it was a bit the dodgy in what comes to our test capability, but now we have increased it really, 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 really high.
Joe, what kind of restrictions have you got at the airports? Because you have this border with Spain, are you limiting movement at airports? Are you limiting movement coming across the border?
I have to give an example. Ireland is an island. Portugal, as a single neighbor, And our first survey said that we have 2,000 passing points with Spain. 2,000. So closing the entire border was not easy. And we closed most of the traffic borders, because most of walking borders. But there's still tracks that could not be possible. What worked was that we did a campaign in Portugal. We did a campaign because most of the Portuguese go to put gasoline in Portugal because it's cheaper, things like that. So there was a huge campaign in the border areas where we told everyone it's very dangerous to pass the border. And also one thing, but we put police in all entire border. We banned all travel for 2 months. It's going to be lifted, I don't see, maybe at the beginning of June. So what happened was that we told, because if you can put police, but like I said, according to other things, it's like repression is not, it's never the best choice. It's like public awareness is the best choice, because there will always be some people that try to break it, and we could enforce it with a police state, but that's not our point. That's why Portugal is the third safest country in the world, and you don't see policemen with machine guns on the streets, because more this kind of police state does not bring more security to people. I'm sorry, and the Portuguese like it in that sense. In what comes to Spain, also one thing that helped, and I need to be honest in this, is that Portugal was behind Spain for a few weeks. And when Portugal started having the pandemic, Spain was already having hundreds of thousands of cases, thousands of dead. So the Portuguese got scared and said, if we don't follow the health authority the regulations, the same thing will happen here. So unfortunately, Spain worked as a bad example to Portugal. In what comes to people, took it really, really serious. Though it was not something to joke about, or it's not just a small flu like the president of Brazil and Trump were saying.
Yeah,
this was a thing that was a bit more serious.
So, just again, you've said how high the level of people who are now dependent on a form of payment from the state to cover their incomes. We have something similar in Ireland in terms of a COVID-19 payment, and we're seeing youth unemployment is perilously high. And the worries, the concerns we're finding here is that the noise is coming now saying, well, actually, let young people go back to work, let these sort of things. Are you looking at a sort of phased lifting of the lockdown?
We are doing a phasing of lockdown. The unemployment in Portugal is not growing that much. Okay, we have an increase that we're expecting, but our point was we are paying people so that people don't get fired. So the state will pay the salary of our workers as long as it takes for the economy to recover. We are expecting a rise of unemployment for sure, because some business will never recover. The year of 2020, it's lost for tourism agencies, for a lot of, because Portugal was investing a lot in tourism and hotel chains and things like that. But we are having separate things for that. But we told people that rushing people back to work just because you need a salary, that's not the solution at all. And also, I have to emphasize another thing that only Portugal has done it, that we won also the war against coronavirus, because Portugal was the only country in the world that legalized all the immigrants that were applying for resident status. You can check it on the news that Portugal legalized half a million people that were expecting for resident status or asylum seekers, so that they could actually get access to our social security and to our health services. So that if you are an illegal immigrant from Senegal, if you feel sick, you are an illegal immigrant, so you say, I'm not going to the hospital because I'm illegal. No, we legalize them all. Half a million people was legalized in Portugal. They all got tested as soon as they got symptoms, because they were assured enough that they will not face trouble when they were feeling sick and going to hospital to be checked. So that was one of the biggest measures that made sure that in like the our people looking for resident status, you not have a spread of the disease that by then will spread all over the population.
Joe, do you have hot spots in nursing homes, residential care, in among your refugee community, or is it we have incredible hot spots in all of those areas? Are you seeing the same in Portugal?
In refugee community, we found some small hot spots in two or three hospitals where we were housing asylum seekers. But as come as like a full spread, no, we don't have it. We don't have any statistic that says that. In healthcare, in nursing places, yes. Around 40% of all cases, it's in retirement homes. But mostly because the manager, most of our retirement home system, it's private or belongs to the church. So what happened was that for a long time, there was no contingency plans being put in place in those nursing homes. So what happened was that the employees went home and were not checked when coming back. And even though the visits from relatives were completely out, that did not happen, which means that around 40% of the cases we have in elderly, they were coming from retirement homes. But we are now testing all of them. And even now, we put a new plan that has cut them completely, is that all retirement homes employees got tested as a priority level, which meant that at the beginning we had problems, yes, but now it's fading away in that sense.
Joe, the nursing home issue is also across the globe. It is one of the main things that was not seen. But I like the fact. Well, I want to pick up on the fact that you point out the idea that it was not but if you have a private market providing this care for the elderly, it is a for-profit model. And in that for-profit model, it means that, you know, corners get cut, unfortunately. Just in terms of you were saying the lifting of the lockdown, Portugal's economy, tourism is a very big piece of it. Now, 2020, as you've just said, is a bit of a write-off. When will certain areas start to lift, do you think?
So, like I said, the year of 2020 is lost, and Portugal depends around 20-22% of their GDP of tourism. So that was also what we told to people, is that a country that depends so much on tourism, we need to say to the world that we were disciplined and we got rid of the virus better and sooner than other people, because bringing the tourists back is a matter of confidence. It's always a matter of confidence. If people, there's also studies saying that Portugal and Cyprus and nowhere else will be the countries that the tourists will go back first, because it is the way that they feel safest. For the summer, we are reopening as middle of June. We are still debating the measures, for instance, to how crowded can a beach be, like if you have like spaces or you have tickets that for the maximum capacity that you can go to the beach or for a swim on the sea. Like I said, we are ready. We are doing check-ins and audits in all the hotels in the countries, and we have a special seal called the clean and safe seal. If you go online and try to book an hotel right now in Portugal, whether they have or not, and they'll put it online, a clean and safe seal, which means that those hotels are forced and will be audited to have strong health measures in what comes to the safety also of their guests there. Because we are even debating if you can use a swimming pool during this pandemic. Is it safe to him like use a swimming pool? Yes, it's safe to use a swimming pool. Maybe not that much crowded in the lockers, but it's safe. So it's also being step by step. And I think that by July, we still have some kind of opening. Some tourists will come back. But I think that before 2021, this year is basically lost. We are expecting a drop in the GDP around 7-8%, and most of that drop will be basically considering a 80% drop in our tourism industry.
Joe, we have the same issue here in that we're seeing that our economy is now very depressed, and we're talking about bringing our economy back up again, but they are surreptitiously talking austerity again. Are you talking austerity for this in Portugal?
No, we are not. Our prime minister said we had austerity during the Troika time, during the big crisis of 2011, 2012, where we had 14% unemployment. We already got to find out that last year Portugal had surplus for the first time in their history. A country ruled by socialists can have good public accounts and have a surplus. Can you imagine that?
Oh, yes. I can imagine.
We can dream.
Margaret Thatcher's myth, huh? That goes away. And we said that we are not doing any austerity in what comes to the way austerity is known. which means that what Portugal needs to recover will be entirely put on our public debt. The deficit be damned, because if we smother the economy again based on increasing taxes, lowering support, the diminishing pensions, things like that, we'll go to another crisis like we had many years ago. So our public debt will go higher and it takes longer to pay, yes. Our deficit will be higher, yes. We're not worrying about that now. What the Prime Minister already said is that austerity will not be an issue. In what comes to, because we know that at some point in unemployment we raise, of course, some people will have a hard time, but lowering wages, increasing taxes, cutting public investment, and lowering pensions, it's not in the government agenda, and it won't be in the government agenda. Because also, there's another thing, is that the crisis in 2012 was a financial crisis. This time, it's not a financial crisis, it's a health crisis. Hmm. So the market is full of liquidity, the banks are full of liquidity, and our Portuguese government already said, oh, CEOs of the banks, we bailed you out. The Portuguese people gave you 20% of our GDP. So all the money that you have available that you can go get from the European Central Bank is to put back in the economy. And to give you an example, we're already forcing the banks. The help that is coming from the banks to the Portuguese economy is almost the same as it is coming from the Portuguese government. We have already mustered around 25 billion euros from the private banks that are putting back in the economy of a interest of nearly zero to make sure there's a recovery based on that, because there is liquidity in the market. Mm. Austerity is never the solution. And Portugal, you can see this in Ireland, is the perfect case that proves it, that once we took out of the austerity, we got surplus in 4 years. We went from bankrupt to surplus. So that is a recipe for disaster that is proven wrong time and time. So going back to there is just a huge mistake. Of course, the right wing is saying, oh, where the money is coming from? Because you are handling money to everyone, and that money has to be paid at some point. It will be paid at some point. It goes to public debt. It will not come from raising taxes, because it comes to a point that it's what we expect from you. Just measures to make sure that we are allowed longer to pay back. Mm. But yes, it's not taking the money from the people that need it the most right now that is going to solve the problem. It's recovering the economy, and then the economy will generate the taxes that we need to pay from that. Yeah, because I give you an example. We had surplus last year, but we had surplus if we include paying our public debt, which means that the Portugal was already having a surplus of 5-6%, but those 5-6% was used to pay our public debt. So there is a way to be done, and there is a way to be done in the left-wing way. Let's cut this myth of only the right wing could have good public accounts. Because remember this, in every crisis and the poor solutions we had, the right wing was always in power in Europe, in European Union. So we had to deal with their solutions. Did they work? They did not.
Joe, I think you make a really good point. And I think there's one thing that's crucial, though, is that we have to understand that within the EU itself, the struggle that will happen there will be for the debt, as you say. What do I always say, Martin? The debt never gets what?
It never gets repaid.
No, it
never.
It gets rebundled. It gets put out. Terms get extended, and we pay it in different ways.
We had a Portuguese Prime Minister from my party that said public debts are not supposed to be paid, they're supposed to be managed.
Exactly. That's it.
100%. 100%.
But what we need is a realization in the EU, the ECB, and in Brussels that this is the case, that it doesn't really matter what the bill is, because people will not tolerate the idea of austerity when they have lost grandparents. They will not tolerate the idea of austerity when they've already had 10 years of austerity. So the EU either accepts that, as you said, the deficit be damned, or the EU be damned. And I hate to be so flippant about it, but the EU needs to be much more accepting that its fiscal rules are not going, do not supersede the rights of European citizens.
The fiscal rules were made in a time of abundance, where of course, that if economy is generating a lot of taxes, the EU can say you are spending too much on this, you are wasting too much on that. In time of abundance, all that is clear. What we demand from EU is two things. One of them, they already done, like limit of public deficit is gone. Mm-hmm. So you are not fine if you push it above 3%. And also, what we expect from ECB, it's the fact that make sure that the governments get money for the public debts at a very small interest rate. Because there is a debate in Portugal. Is that the treaties, and that's the problem that's happening right now with the German Constitutional Court,
yeah.
is that the treaties say that the Imperial Central Bank cannot loan money to states, can only loan money to banks, which means that the banks are getting money at a negative interest and then borrowing the money at 2-3%. It's a good deal for banks.
It's a great deal.
Debt, for private banks, it's a huge good deal. Why the hell can the central bank or the EU as such loan money directly to states, like in national bonds or some kind? Because this treaty has made sure that we have a middleman that always got the money. And we force our banks in Portugal to lower, by law, the interest rate of what they were borrowing money to business. Because we said it's immoral that if you are getting money from the central bank at -0.75, lending money at 3% or 4%, it's immoral. So the yes. money needs to be lent out of a top 1%.
You should come to Ireland, where we have the highest interest rates in the EU. We have the highest mortgage interest rates in the EU, and we continue to have. And they're telling us that it's getting competitive, but I'm still seeing rates at twice the EU average. It's insane.
But why is that? That even can be regulated. In Portugal, our central bank regulates those kinds of rates.
Oh, well, look.
To make sure it's not immoral.
I get very... Martin knows how annoyed I get about this. He's laughing there, but he can see. You can see my eyes starting to twitch. Joe, listen, I won't keep you much longer, but in terms of how things are in Portugal, if we see a second wave, as people say, you know, is the fear of the second wave, will you immediately go back to more restrictions?
We will, but the question, we will. Our Prime Minister said we are deconfining at some point, but I we don't know all the truths. There's no guidebook for fighting a pandemic like this. We make decisions as it goes along, based on information almost day by day. Yeah. So the Prime Minister already said that if needed, we go back. That's not the point. But what is the second wave? Because there's a thing that people need to understand is that we got confined to make sure that our health service could stand and attend everyone that had an infection, a strong infection from coronavirus, which means that from now on, the data that really matters, it's not how many people are infected. 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, it's concerning, but it's not. What we are following is people that are being put in the hospital. So if that rate goes up, like people intern in the hospital, that's when we started thinking about other measures. But what's going on in Portugal is that more people are still getting infected, but people in intensive care beds or being committed to the hospital, it's still lowering down. So we have reasons for hope, but we'll continue tracking these things. And another thing, a government needs to be humble. And my government also some mistakes. But the worst mistake is insisting in the mistake. So we failed some payments in Social Security, and they asked the minister, do you feel ashamed for that? I do. So you did the mistake. Yes, it's your fault. Yes, it's our fault. Yes, being humble. People can understand all the hardships, except not being up to the expectations or lying to them.
Hmm. Yes.
So that's the most important part. Disappointment is worse than give people bad news. At least if Iran is giving bad news, this is styles of governing. It changes from country to country. So let's hope that this goes away. But we are very much prepared to go back. We hope not. And we think that the second wave will be something that... Because we put an entire infrastructure that we are not dismantling. Like campaign hospitals, army hospitals, areas in every hospital just for COVID. Most of them are now empty, but they will stay... they're ready to welcome people at least until 2021.
Okay. Martin.
Joe, I'm delighted to see that you're doing well. I'm delighted that you're getting through this safe and sound. And it's a real pleasure to talk to you. And at some stage, Tony and I will hop on a plane and we will head to Portugal and we will interview you in person at some stage. We definitely will.
I will love that and welcome you so that you can go to the reopen beach and be in front of our beautiful sun and our ocean and take care of all that. It's always a pleasure.
My body might empty your beach, Joe.
Jumping. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you, friend, and make sure you mind yourself and all the best. Thank you so much again.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Martin. It's always a pleasure. Bye-bye. Big hug.